Pastor here at Cedar Ridge, so I want to welcome you all. Some of you may have been coming here for years, some of you may have, this may be your first time here, but either way, thank you for coming and celebrating resurrection with us this morning. We're really glad you're here. If you're new, we'd love to find out a little bit more about you if you'd like to let us know that. And we have some welcome cards out in the lobby area that you can fill out on that main table there in the middle. Just give us some of your details. And also right after the service today, and we do this every week, we have something called Cedar Ridge in 7 minutes, which is just a sort of brief introduction to the church. We'll gladly meet with you and answer any questions that you have. We'll do that in the sort of back corner over there, right at the end of the service. So please come and see us afterwards if you'd like more information. Also, we have a bulletin, a flyer, which comes out every couple of weeks. You may have received one of those when you came in. So that's got a lot of information about our church and upcoming events. But we really don't have any announcements this morning. That's pretty good news, right? Possibly the most boring part of the service, except for my messages, you know, depending on how that goes. But anyway, we are this morning celebrating Easter, right? We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. We're all together, and we're going to have a great time celebrating that. It's a beautiful time of the year. It feels like spring has finally sprung, you know, and yesterday we had a pretty amazing celebration of that, and we have a few photos, I think, of our farm planting party. A bunch of us got together on the farm. You know, we have this half-acre farm, plot of land out front, where we're growing vegetables and fruits to give away to those in need. And we did our first planting yesterday. We had a lot of people come out. And we had actually a bunch of volunteers from Walter Reed Military Hospital who came and helped us. Any of those guys here this morning, I don't know if any of them came along, in their absence, thank you so much to them, and thank you to everybody who came. Anybody show up yesterday on the farm? Yeah, we had a really great time, so there's a few photos there. We also went down to the bees and checked on our new hives. You know, we started five new hives to add to the five old ones, and they're all doing great and thriving. So, you know, it was a really great day, and the sunshine was out, a little bit on the windy side. But it was one of those days when you kind of breathe a sigh of relief that maybe winter has finally passed, but you never know, right, with the Maryland weather, you just never know. Anyway, so we're kind of celebrating new life in general this morning, but specifically, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Now, resurrection is this beautiful thing, and it's an amazing thing that we're celebrating. It's also kind of a little tricky, right? It doesn't happen that often, right? People coming back to life. So we celebrate it, and we long for it, and we love the story of Jesus. I expect sometimes, though, we can find it even hard to believe or hard to relate to. So as we sort of enter into the mystery of it and as our faith gets stretched, this morning what we want to do is just together experience something of resurrection, and we're going to do that by looking at some things from the natural world. And, we've done that for a few years now. We'll remind ourselves a little bit of some of the things we've done in the past. But before we go any further, what we're going to do is have some people come up and read to us. In fact, actually, I've missed out. We've got our opening prayer, haven't we? I've totally missed that piece out. Where's Olivia? Sorry, Olivia. Okay, so if Olivia's going to lead us in a prayer before we get going, that's my bad. So she's going to read a few lines, and then we'll respond to her. So you go, Olivia.
Beautiful day, full of the wonder and joy that is resurrection.
Help us to feel your presence deep in our souls this morning.
May we feel the love you have for us. To the God who wasn't where he was supposed to be, thank you for the empty tomb and all that it means for us. Guide us toward the reconciliation of all things, the hope that Easter holds. God in heaven, and here with us right now, may your joy become our joy and spill onto other people. Thank you for the most glorious day in your holy and peaceful name. Amen.
So we're going to just look at the story from the Bible of Jesus coming back from the dead. So we have some readers. If you guys would like to come up to the front now, they're going to read from this microphone up here. So we talk about this very often here at Cedar Ridge, how easy it is to let stories from the Bible, especially that we're very familiar with, kind of just sort of float over us. So we're going to try and, instead of letting it just float over us, we're going to try and listen to it with fresh ears. So as they read different parts from this story, let's listen really attentively and kind of get into the story.
A And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb.
The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make a tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
That's great, guys. That's really well read. Thanks so much for doing that. So I think it's really cool at the end of that story there where, you know, Jesus has come back from the dead, and the first thing he says is greetings. You know, it's kind of a little low key. I'm not sure that'd be the first thing I say if I came back from the dead, right? I'd have something a little more whoa to say, but that's probably the way the story is told there. But so in that story, we have Jesus is killed, dies, and we celebrated on Good Friday the fact that Jesus took on all that is evil in the world, all that is dark, all that is ugly and selfish and fearful, and met it with all his goodness and love and kindness. And rather than just fighting it, he swallowed it up by succumbing to death. But death couldn't hold Jesus. It was as though there was so much life in Jesus. So Jesus was so full of God that he just exploded back into life. And we even sort of have that sense of an explosion there with the shaking of the ground and this huge stone that was put in front of the tomb. But you imagine it kind of being blasted out of the way. And Jesus comes back to life and gives us this new life. It's as though the whole universe is full of new life and potential for new life because of what Jesus did and because of what happened on that day that we're celebrating today at Easter. Now, to try and help us kind of connect with the meaning of resurrection and the experience of resurrection and to understand a bit more about what this new life means for us, over the years we've looked at different examples of how even in our everyday life, we experience life coming from death, and we, you know, especially in the natural world. So you may remember one year we talked about fire. We didn't really set fire to anything, but we kind of looked at fire, and we talked about how fire sometimes, you know, people use fire to burn crops or to burn areas of land so that new life can come through. right? Some of you may remember that. We've talked about seeds kind of dying, going into the ground, and sprouting. It's as though they die and then give life to plants. Do you remember a couple of years ago we talked about exploding stars? We actually had an experiment up here of nuclear fusion. We tried to create nuclear fusion. Didn't really work, fortunately. But we talked about how stars, when they die, they explode and then seed the universe, or they're part of the universe, with new life. And our Earth was created in that kind of way. Our solar system was created in that kind of way. It's pretty amazing, that we have those elements of dying stars present in our bodies right now. So life coming from death. And then last year we talked about bees, and we talked about how bees will die in order to for the benefit of their colony, and how bees even seem to die over the winter time, but then the hive comes back to life again. So we see a lot of these examples in nature. Can anyone remember what you took home last year from the Easter service? Anybody take anything home last year? Yeah. Well, did you take bees home? If you did, I didn't see you doing that, and I want them back, okay? But we took some. Anybody else? A chrysalis, right? A caterpillar chrysalis. And we talked about how the caterpillar forms this cocoon and seems to die, and then out comes the beautiful caterpillar. Well, we've got a different theme this week, or this year. Can anybody who's very intelligent look around the room and sort of get a hint for what the theme might be for this year's Easter? Eggs, yes, eggs. So eggs are a very popular theme at Easter. Who has eaten a chocolate egg today, so far today? Yeah, right. So, hey, Will, where's Will? Okay, Will. Now, I'm going to ask a few questions in a moment, and there's a, we're going to give the chocolate egg to people who get the questions right. Last year, I threw eggs into the congregation. I was going to say audience, congregation, and I got a few complaints. So I'm not going to, apparently some people got hurt, which you don't want to happen at church particularly. So we're going to very graciously and carefully hand things out. So Will's going to go around. We've got some smaller eggs, won't cause any damage. Nobody's going to go home injured this morning. So eggs. Now, can anybody tell me, why are eggs a symbol at Easter? What's the deal about eggs? Anybody? Easter? Yes, I think that merits an egg. Yes, very good. Yeah, what's the big deal about eggs at Easter? It's unnormal for a bunny to give eggs. You were dead right. That's biologically, biologically that's all wrong, isn't it? Yeah. So that's two eggs for that guy over there, right? So he's. Anybody else? Yes. A symbol of fertility. Yeah. So why are they a symbol of fertility? Would you say? Yes, because because life comes out of them, right? Yeah. And in fact. Eggs were they're actually a pagan fertility symbol, believe it or not. And, Christianity kind of took on certain pagan celebrations, and sort of made them into their own religious celebrations. And so eggs come from this sort of very, very ancient celebration of spring, where animals lay eggs during the spring, and it's this sort of time of year where life is, things are coming back to life. So we saw a lot of, as Christians, we saw a lot of connections there with the life of Jesus and the resurrection. So, eggs have that kind of ancient history to them, and we celebrate them particularly at Easter. What's a particular aspect of eggs that relate to the story that we just heard? I mean, what's another way in which eggs might be a symbol of Easter? Let me give you an example, right? So what's going to happen here with that egg? There's an egg there, right? Okay. It broke. Yes. Anybody want to catch an egg? There you go. There's an egg for you there. Okay. And maybe one over here. That one was hard-boiled. Okay. That was a. I wouldn't have done that to you. I wouldn't have done that to you. It was hard-boiled. Okay. I did. Yeah. I only had one hard-boiled one. So what's happened to the egg yolk? Sorry, to the eggshell. There's another egg there. That was hard-boiled as well. What happened? So that didn't break. So what's happening here? Well, some people think that's like the tomb, right? It's like the tomb is being broken open, and so a new life comes out, right? So now, you know, what are these things called in there? Egg yolks, egg white, okay. But in a lot of eggs, when they're fertilized, there's something else in there, right? There's a chicken there. And I think we actually have a little video of a chick. Oh no, that's not a chick. Sorry, I'm all over the place this morning. Sorry. So what else lay eggs? What else lay eggs? Frogs, yeah. So don't skip ahead yet. Don't go to the next slide yet. Yeah, so that's not a chicken. That's not a chicken. Has anybody seen any frog spawn this year yet? Yeah. Just give eggs randomly to people who put their hands up. We'll keep going. I should have prepared better than this. Okay, so yes. Now, what other... So chickens lay eggs. You know, birds lay eggs, right? The cutest eggs in the world have to be hummingbee eggs, right? Do you know, they're the size of a pea. Size of a pea. They only lay two in a... one-inch net. It's just amazing. But anyway, but that's not a hummingbird either. It's a frog. Actually, that's a toad. That's a toad. So what else lay eggs? Turtles? Yeah, actually, turtles. So we actually have a picture of some sea turtles. Well, that's a crocodile. Crocodile lay eggs. Crocodiles lay eggs. They're reptiles. And there's some sea turtle eggs. Like, I love going, like, the last few years on summer vacation, go to Florida, and I love going out at nighttime on the beach, and you see, has anybody ever seen a giant sea turtle come up onto the shore and lay eggs? Anybody ever seen that? Just an amazing experience. And they lay, you know, 150 eggs or so on the same beach that they were born on, and then they swim off, and they swim all over the world, and then they come back again a few years later to the same beach and lay more eggs. Really incredible. And I think we've got a picture of, there's a cute little turtle that hatched out. One night, a few years ago, I was walking on the beach in Florida with my two boys, George and Oliver, and we saw a nest hatch out, and about 150 of these little turtles scuttling down to the sea. It was just an amazing experience. Here's a good, oh no. Don't go on too far, so hold it there. Okay, there are two mammals that lay eggs. It's very, you know, we don't lay eggs, right? Human beings don't lay eggs, mammals don't lay eggs. There are two mammals that lay eggs. That's one of them right there. Anybody know what the name of that is? Okay, let's go. Yeah, so where's Will? So somebody over here had the right answer. Platypus, yeah. And, okay, without going on to the next slide, without moving on, what's the only other animal that lays eggs? And you will get four eggs for this. Yes. A chicken, but a chicken's a bird. It's not a mammal. You can have an egg for, yeah. Or anybody, yes. The echidna, yes. We have a picture of an echidna up here. There it is. There's the echidna, yes. So four eggs for that guy. We'll give a couple of eggs over here when you're ready, Will. Okay, so eggs are this symbol of life. We see them all over the place, right? You know, every time you see frogs spawn, you know a tadpole's going to hatch out and that will eventually become a frog. When we see eggs, you know, we might eat these eggs, but we also know that chickens come from eggs, right? Or do eggs come from chickens? Wait, okay. Well, where's Tineke? We actually have some chickens, right? Here. So we're going to get these chickens out. Well, we're not going to get them. They're not going to run around. But so if you want to come around, you can actually come and see these chickens. Beautiful chickens that, and we have some of the eggs that they've laid. Okay. So now, while we're looking at those, we're also going to just check out, because these eggs that Tineke has from these chickens are, they're not fertilized eggs, right? So we could just crack those and cook them. They don't have chicks inside. But let's look what happens inside an egg, okay? So now remember, we're thinking about these eggs a little bit like the tomb of Jesus, where something is going on in that tomb that we can't see and maybe we don't understand. But something amazing is happening. So let's look at, here's an egg. Okay, look at the screen. Oh, they're a bit distracted now. But we're going to see a chick develop. I think this is pretty incredible. So here's, over just a few days, from pretty much nothing, life explodes into being. That's just at day 3. Blood vessels start to form. You can start seeing that it looks pretty much like, you know, an animal now. Maybe you don't know what it's going to be. We all probably looked like that at some point. And then gradually limbs develop. And this is just less than a week now. And then over time, more sophisticated organs develop. And this chick begins to mature. Feathers start to form. Life is really taking grip now. And remember, this is all just inside a small egg like this, right? Just a tiny egg. This is a chicken in particular here that's developing. And it's all curled up tight inside that egg. And then it begins to move around. You can see it's in that shape of an egg, and it's getting ready now to hatch out. So it's doing its final maturing phase. It's getting a bit bigger. It's got its feathers now, and then it will be ready very soon now to come out. Okay, so it's completely filled up the egg. Okay, so just coming to an end. And then it begins to hatch out. Now we have another quick little video here of, so guys, watch the screen here, because I think you're going to enjoy this. So that's a baby chick gets born. But we've got a live video now. Well, it's not live, it's real. It's not a live shot from anywhere. Of a chick hatching out. So let's check out this. So this is a real egg now. Look, can you see that? It's speeded up, but that chick inside is just pecking away at the egg. It's like breaking out of its tomb. And from what seemed like nothing, life is going to appear. So watch it and you'll see it, the egg crack open. Okay, now this takes quite a lot of time, several minutes, sometimes hours. But we've speeded it up so that we can see it happen a lot quicker. And you'll see there's the chick just hatching out. There it goes. Now, there he is. So eggs and chickens and things hatching out and the eggs we celebrate at Easter, really what they are to us is an example, a symbol of life coming from death, of the power of life. Now, we, as followers of Jesus, we believe in that. We're constantly hungry for new life. Like, we have all kinds of things going on in our lives that feel like death or don't feel that good. You know, that's for us personally. We long to see things being renewed in our lives, things get sorted out, relationships that are difficult or a bad job or all kinds of different things that might be going on in our lives. We kind of long for things to turn around, for life to come out of death. And we might long for that for the world too. Sometimes when we look at the world seems like a dark place. There seems like all kinds of hatred and violence and fear. And we long to see the world healed and put to right. And sometimes it can seem like even the best of our efforts seem kind of lame. Well, you know, sometimes we experience new life, but it, you know, we get better at something or we work at a relationship and it improves, but it's still not perfect. And we serve in the world and we love people in the world, but the world's still not perfect. Well, look at this picture of a newborn chick, okay? Would you say that looks strong or pathetic? On which end of the spectrum would you say that? Probably more on the pathetic end of the spectrum, right? So it's just hatched out. Sometimes new life is really, really fragile, right? It's really, really fragile. A few hours after this photo, those chicks are fluffed up and they look really beautiful and cuddly. And then they eventually get with their mother and the mother looks after them. Does anybody notice something wrong with that image there? That looks like a dog to me, but clever dog. The clever dog. He's getting a nice nap and he's getting nice and warm under there. But, you know, sometimes when we look at chicks and baby things, it can remind us of how fragile new life can be. And even when you read the story of Jesus, Jesus doesn't come back to life and then sort of walk out and start commanding people to do things. You would think that Jesus would be in a very powerful position. But rather, it's very quiet. It's a very quiet thing. And sometimes the new life we're looking for, The resurrection we want to experience, sometimes it comes quietly and in a small way. It may not seem all that powerful, and we might ourselves be experiencing new things, maybe a little bit of healing in our lives or things working out better, but it seems small, and it's easy to disregard it rather than see it as something beautiful and powerful and new, even though it's fragile. Now, I want to introduce you to something else that's a little fragile here. So, kids, if you want to come over here, not just yet. Okay, we actually have some chicks here. So these are little baby Araucana chickens. So I'm going to let you look at these guys, but we're going to touch them in a moment, okay? But you can just look at the moment, don't touch. So these guys are just 3 days old, okay? So if you look at this guy, he's so dependent. He's so weak. He's beautiful. And just to think that that bird was in the egg just 4 days ago, and this bird didn't even exist a month ago. So new life has come out of something in a miraculous way, and yet it's so fragile and needs care and needs support and needs the warmth of his mother and warmth of the other birds. And we're having to, well, that was a major attraction, right? You can see over there. So we have a lamp over there to keep them warm. So, you know, new life can be very fragile. So what we're going to do here, I'm going to put this guy back, and I'm just going to ask you guys to go back to your seats just for a minute, and then you can come back, okay? You can all touch them in a moment, okay? But if you go back to your seats just for a second, all right? We're going to take a break in a minute. Okay, so if you go back to your seats, everybody can come up again in a second. We're going to have a special time to do that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to, there'll be some music playing. We're going to just roam around a little bit. We can get up out of our seats, move around. You may want to come over and look at the chicks. I'm going to have a couple of people there who will just supervise. So please don't pick the chick up yourself, okay, because we do need to be very careful with these chicks, because they are very fragile. But we'll have a couple of supervisors there who will hold the chick, and you can stroke the chick. Okay, so just take your time there. You might want to come and look at these chickens. We also have a couple of exercises to do. Okay, so at the sides, so where the flowers are at the sides, there are pieces of paper and then some plastic eggs. Let me go over there and show you. I've got an example here. The ones at the front and the ones on these tables are slightly different. But you'll find an open egg like this and some paper. What we're encouraging everybody to do is to write on the piece of paper something where you want to experience new life. It might be something you need yourself. It might be something you just want to pour your heart out and say, this area of my life just feels really dark or difficult, and I want to experience new life in that area. Or it might be something you see in the world. It might be, I want to see a solution to the problem over whatever it is. Something in our nation or abroad where we just long to see new life and healing take place. Write that down on the paper. The paper is biodegradable. And these eggs are also based, they're plant material, so they're biodegradable. And what we're going to do is close up the egg. Screw up your paper, put it in the egg, and then these dirt compost containers at the front. So you can seal it up, come up to the front, and then just bury it, just like Jesus was buried, into the compost up here. Then what we're going to do is when all that's finished, we're going to plow that into our farm, right? And let it just kind of die into the farm and give new life to our farm. This is all biodegradable plant matter, okay? So it'll all just be taken in by the farm. Once you've done that, then you can come up to the front or to that table and take one of these eggs, okay? These eggs are closed, and they have seeds in them. They've got local wildflower seeds. And you can take these home, okay? So you've buried one thing, then you take these home, open it up, just like the tomb of Jesus was opened, and then sprinkle it on some earth in your yard or somewhere near where you live, and wildflowers will grow, and those are really good for insects, and you'll be able to sprinkle them somewhere where you can walk by frequently and see them growing, and let it remind you of new life coming from that situation that seems so dark to you. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're just going to take a break, go and write some things down, put them in the eggs, bury them, come and see the chickens, come and check out the chicks. And as we're doing that, let's just think and ask God to reveal more about what new life is and even what in what ways we need new life. Okay, so maybe we could start some music, Sarah, and then if you just want to get up and move around, please do that. I'll call us back together again in a second.